Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 This is the bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us!
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick Radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in California.
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope one of his cowboy guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you couldn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black D. Out.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J. Cat Morris.
You are now listening to
Yakuza Kick Radio.
It is July 10th, 2013. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J. Cat Morris. I took off last week. Like I expected to do the show, and then, you know, kind of the day before, I just decided, now I'm not going to, because I had my 4th of July party coming up just the day before this. The show was going to be on. I had a bunch of different things I had to get ready, and I was trying to prepare the yard and everything for the party. So I just thought it would be best. My mind wasn't in it to really, like, you know, sit there and chat for 2 hours. So I called off the show, and, hopefully any minute I'll be having my guest, Sexy Eddie on. And, we got a lot to talk about, a lot of questions for the guy. And, I had Eddie on more or less just as part of the J.C. Bailey tribute years back. Probably, I think it was the first one I did, and that was probably about 2 years back now. So, I had him on then, but, you know, surely wasn't the time to get into a lot of things about his career or anything else. You know, I just kept it about J.C. and everything. So, definitely, you know, I got a lot to ask the guy. Definitely he's had a long and storied career, so to speak. He says he's on standby, but I'm not seeing a number. So hold on, let me see if I could pull it up on my iPad. Sometimes this blog talk is the most difficult thing about doing the show, is the actual place where I host it, which is never fun. So let me see. Yeah, I'm not getting it here or there. Let me see if I can get him to call back up, because it's not coming up there. Just bear with me. All right, I'm just going to give it a minute and hope this the number pops up and everything like that. Like I said, it's gets difficult at times. Definitely try to make motivation to get off of the Blog Talk thing, but it, you know, just has not headed in a direction where I've done that whatsoever. I still continue to go back here because it's usually the easiest. Usually, the most of the time, it's definitely the easiest. Let me see. Yeah, all right. Let me try calling his number. Now, this is fantastic radio, though. just bear with me. Yeah, I'm going to call. Yeah. Hold on. I don't even think he. All right. Yeah, I don't. I think we kind of got lost in translation there. I think I was waiting for him to call in, but he was waiting for me to call in. So that would be extremely understandable why he didn't call. And all right, let me see what I could do here. Okay. Let me try this. Again, just bear with me. I apologize. All right, I'm trying to call it up now.
Hello.
Eddie.
Yes, are we on there?
Yeah, we're on the air, man.
All right. Sorry for those testicle difficulties, man. Usually I'm right on the ball, but you know, this time I guess it was a premature whatever false alarm. Sorry about that.
No worries, man. No worries. So we got you on though. So yeah, you know, pretty much just wanted to talk all over your career and, you know, the whole thing. So how did you actually get started in wrestling?
Yeah, no, started a long time ago, 14 years, I think it's 14 years now. Jeez, my first match was April of 1999. That goes back. I banged a couple girls that were just born, like, around that year. Well, no, not that year. Give it a couple extra years. They were in diapers, let's just say. I don't want to go to jail after this interview, man. I ain't getting paid enough. Yeah, exactly. No, so it's been a long career, and I mean, ups and downs, like anyone could tell you in any career. You got injuries that happen. Loss of passion, which I know a lot of guys has happened to. You know, sometimes you're on a roll, a lot of bookings, you're going international, and then all of a sudden there's a standstill. Sometimes the price of gas, the price of plane tickets goes up, and promotions are having a hard time booking some of the superstars unless you're on TV. So
right.
Things like that. You get your dips and stuff sometimes, but, you know, only the strong survive, and I've been kicking around for this long, so it says something. I mean, I've even fought through some of those, what do they call the STDs? What do they change the name now to? Sexually something else diseases? I can't remember. They officially changed the name. Drugs to kill any diseases, and if you do take a sample of my blood, I believe the cure for AIDS is in there.
Well, that's a good thing, for sure.
Yeah, no, because, you know, when you've had so many diseases like I have and stuff, and all the pills to fight them, I have, like, a superhuman blood. I'm considered a rare species. And my blood type is really something special. So when you get all that fighting, like, immune to anything through the use of my penis.
Where did, how did training go and stuff starting out of wrestling?
I guess like everywhere, some of the trainers, they kind of try and, show you that, wrestling's not fake. So, you know, they try and like beat you into it and pound you into it. And, you know, again, we're in the day and age of entertainment, but when I started, they were still trying to cover up the business and everything and protect it. And I knew all about that, but because even though I've done a lot of sports, football, I've done Olympic wrestling and rugby for like 9 seasons, but I've never had as many injuries as I have doing pro wrestling. And I'm not just going to say on the death matches in the hardcore circuit, even in regular matches, the concussions, broken nose, torn ligaments in my shoulder, like a lot of stuff just from in the ring, that's the thing, you know, people will go and say, oh, it's a show and it's fake and this and that. Just look at my arms and stuff. And I mean, I think Mick Foley had one of the best pictures out in the back of one of his books there. I think it was Have a Nice Day. He's got a list of all his injuries, a picture of him with arrows pointing all body parts. And wrestling, it just shows, like, I think you can make it one of the toughest sports. I mean, some people maybe have an easier time, but guys like Necro Butcher, go and tell them that wrestling is fake. Go and tell them that, right. And I want to be there, front row, eating popcorn, watch you get knocked the hell out.
Sure. What was it like, getting into IWS and working, you know, with Manny and all that stuff?
Well, I helped start that company. There were 3 of us, and we all had different goals, and my personal goal was to wrestle more. So starting a company, you're trying to put stuff together, trying to get sponsors. You know, you're trying to make it bigger. I personally didn't want to put my time into that. I just wanted to wrestle and get as many places as I can and train and practice. So I kind of ducked out of that. But one of the best experiences, we based ourselves, we were, just so people get a background, I'm from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. Now, Quebec right. is very French, so we were the only English promotion. We were like, we need something English. I mean, so we wanted to do something that there was a big demographic of fans that, you know, were going to some of these French shows, but maybe not having as much fun. So, but we know all the French fans would watch WWE on TV and stuff. So I think they would come out to shows, even if it's English and stuff. We started our own English company, and it was based a little bit on the old school ECW, because when we watched that, we were tripping balls. We were like, yo, this isn't mainstream. This is a little bit out there. And so we modeled ourselves a little bit on that. We were the only English hardcore thing, and it took a while for it to get rolling, but once the ball was going, we teamed up with a porn company, and they fed us some girls as valets, and they helped build a good audience and build people that were like not wrestling fans, but like checking us out for the girls or whatever. But then they're like, holy shit, okay, this is an entertaining show. We're liking this. And from there, it spawned. We're like the only Canadian company to run a show in the CZW arena, the old CZW arena, which was the also former ECW arena in Philly, and which was a big landmark, cool thing itself. And we were one of the few to also have some matches featured on some pay-per-views and things like that. And again, the starts of a lot of big names used to be in wrestling and in wrestling now. Sure. Not to mention of, you know, like Kevin Steen, who was the Ring of Honor champion, El Generico, who's now in WWE, and as the character, if I'm allowed to say, I don't know if it's still top secret, Sami Zayn. So, I mean, I got a name drop because, you know what, it's cool to say that man, it's humble beginnings that bring you to where you are today. It's really cool to have gotten to wrestle those guys and be part of something that blew up internationally and got us all a little bit of fame and a lot of groupies along the way.
Sure. Now, you know, my first experience seeing you guys was, you know, the big explosion of you guys coming over here, coming off of your big tournament of Deathmatch, you know, where, you know, the spot happened with, you know, the blood gushing from the arm, you doing the Spider-Man thing. And I mean, it really just over the top stuff. I mean, I was there and, you know, we all marked out in the crowd. And for that point, it really opened the door. What was that whole show like for you?
It was surreal. And I can tell you my moment in the ring, I was marking out myself because I was like, I could tell you this is, I saw this and I was on Elm Street or like Friday 13 movie. Like, I mean, it's so cool. They cut the arm and the blood squirts. It was almost fake to me. And I just went with it. I went with the crowd reaction. I didn't even know that the blood was spurting like that until I was hearing the chants. And the ref, I think, even mentioned to me, like, dude, your arm. And I looked down, and I'm like, wow, this is like the movies, like a horror movie. And, I mean, it wasn't hurting or nothing because I was so pumped. This being my first time on U.S. soil for a match.
Right.
So, again, we had to leave a big impression. And, man, I left my mark. And I left it where it's still it's almost 10 years ago. Which, yeah, next summer will be 10 years, and it's funny when people still remember that. Because, again, I think you want to be remembered. You don't get remembered by your wins or your losses. People remember certain spots that you've probably done in your career, and that'll be one of my top three moments where people are like, man, I seen that, and holy shit, you know? So that was pretty much the reaction was the holy shit. It was only at night after I got 19 stitches. Actually, here's a funny story. I get shipped out of the hospital really fast. I was still ready to fill out papers and stuff. When Necro Butcher was coming in, because he did the finals, I couldn't advance to the finals. For those who didn't know, I got injured, so they had to get me to the ambulance. But I had won my second round match to go on for a three-way. Since I couldn't do that, they did a singles. I think it was Necro Butcher and Wife Beater. And so when Necro hit the hospital, they were like, cops are here, and they think there's been a gang war because they don't believe this wrestling. Two guys coming in and saying a wrestling show, and the cops were like, no, wrestling is fake. Wrestling's fake. So they were like, Eddie, get the hell out of here. We got to go. And we just left on time. You know, we might have had to stay a few extra nights and stuff and try to convince them that this is family entertainment, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, coming off of that, you know, even, you know, Kevin Steen's been doing interviews and stuff, and every time that, you know, he does one of them, one of the first things he does is, you know, talking about his, you know, his entering America and the Northeast and all that. It gives you credit for, I mean, that putting the IWS guys on the map and really opening the doors for a lot of other guys to get booked. You know, what was it like when all you guys were able to do the big four-way at the time, CZW Arena? And, I mean, at that point, the fans just wanted to see you walk through the curtain. I mean, and you guys came out there and tore it up again. I mean, what was that show like?
Well, first off, I'm going to have to buy Kevin a couple of beers when I do see him because he's saying my name. I mean, that still gets me books and stuff like that. Some people think I'm probably dead or something. They're like, no, man, we don't hear much about Sexy Eddie and stuff. No, I'm getting around. But I mean, maybe it's a little less action in the States right now, which is good. A couple jailbait problems and stuff like that. I mean, the girl said she was 21 and, you know, and stuff like that. So I have to stay south of the border for a little bit. But anyways, let me continue on with that. The moment this was my second appearance in the States where, again, I still had to prove myself. The first time was let's see what these Canadians, these IWS guys can do. And, again, we brought the hardcore. Then they were like, well, let's see if he can wrestle. So, again, it was another challenge. Again, we talked about some of the stuff we were going to do in the match and see how we were going to work it. But none of us expected the reaction when the music hit. And I felt it. That was one of my top moments, proudest moments in wrestling, because I knew right there I was like, okay, do this really well, and I think we're set. And we did it. I mean, almost 100%. I'm a perfectionist. I nitpick a little bit, but we did things and we brought some style, which they, I think Jersey All Pro later called it Canadian head drop style, which we've been doing all the time, almost falling on our heads. Maybe because we were so anxious getting in the ring and we're like, oh, we get to wrestle and stuff, and overthrowing ourselves and you know, bouncing off our heads. So by that time, I'd already expired probably my like 7 or 8 lives that I had. So a lot of fans don't know that in CZW. I was still doing some crazy stuff years before that. It's just a little harder to get hold of some footage. I think you could still pick up stuff from Smart Mark Video. So some old IWS stuff. But the feeling going into that was, the pressure was huge. Again, getting into the ring, I'm comfortable, and seeing the reaction kind of put me at ease. And then as the match was going, again, sometimes these things flash so fast through your head. Yeah, you know, you're in the ring and stuff, the match just goes by, and then it's done. And I remember seeing people get on their feet, and then everyone's on their feet. And, you know, the rest came natural, and I think people didn't expect that much, maybe from the other guys also. This was the first time for the three other guys. It was XS, sure, El Generico, and Kevin Steen. And again, it was cool to be part of that. I find that it was a history-making moment for not just me, but for all of us. And again, that opened the door to have more IWS guys, which kept going until they gave us our own show, an afternoon show on a CZW night. So it was cool.
Right.
I think it was me, maybe Beef Wellington, Frankie the Mobster. We were three guys that got to do shows for the afternoon show, and I was a CZW regular for 2 years, so that was really cool.
I mean, amongst that time, once that, you know, that big four-way, and obviously there was a lot of things that stuck out about you guys, and you know, it was, you know, breath of fresh air for the guys who were watching Northeast wrestling, because you pretty much saw the same talent. You can kind of swap out a lot of the rosters on, you know, different local cards, because, you know, that's the easiest to book, is, you know, whoever's around. So you'd have a lot of Jersey All Pro. There was like a lot of CZW and the Ring of Honor. But yeah, you guys were definitely like a breath of fresh air. So a lot of us, including myself, went out and got a bunch of those, you know, IWS from Smart Mark, because we wanted to see what have these guys been doing. And one of the first things that stuck out about you was, as you said, the head drop style. I don't know how you took some of these bumps that you were taking. I mean, I remember one, there was a Duronic's power bombed you over the ring, like the ropes, and there was a ramp leading right to the ring.
That was pretty solid. I think I was made of rubber back then.
I don't know what it was, and you had some kind of rubber neck, or I don't know what was going on with you, but that definitely stuck out quite a bit.
That was my nickname too, because guys were like, a lot of guys would watch my match, and even some of them that I would watch their match, and I'd always be worried about them, and I'd be like, dude, are you okay? And they're like, yeah, I'm fine. Dude, there was something that looked really disgusting. And then they'd say the same thing for me, and I was like, no, I'm fine and stuff. But I got to admit, maybe a lot in the beginning of my career, I wanted to do a lot of stuff. And I got probably the brunt of my injuries in my first 3 years. Too many concussions that I can remember, and coming back from a concussion a week later, 2 weeks later, and getting another one, which could have shortened my career big time even before I got to the States. Again, I'm really grateful for that. I can't explain how we can do that, and it's and how we can do that. It's probably stupidity. You know, we're just lucky we got hard heads up here and stuff. It's probably the cold that does that. It fucks us up so much.
Yeah. Working for Zandig, I mean, what was that like? Obviously, you know, you guys really had to prove yourself, but, you know, there's been a lot of stories told that, you know, a lot of the locker room wasn't as big on the Canadians, even though obviously the fans were. I mean, you know, what was it like with this, you know, whole new locker room?
Again, that's always a challenge because not only you got to win over the fans in every place, you got to win over the locker room. And I'd like to say that I made a lot of friends, and it's too bad if some guys didn't like us because they thought we were taking their spot, even though we brought some original flavor and we brought something different. And, I mean, we weren't taking anyone's spot. There's people got to understand in wrestling there's room for everyone, and no matter what skill level, if you bring something different to the table, then you're marketable. And we were bringing something different. We weren't taking from anyone or mimicking anyone's style or gimmicks. So if there were haters out there, well, that's too bad, and probably the haters are not around anymore in wrestling. But for the genuine guys that were cool with us, I mean, they see us now. And again, a lot of times people see the new guys and they kind of not maybe shit on us and stuff when we were starting out, but you know what? When they see the staying power and, oh, he's on another card, oh, he's on another card, there's a respect that grows between us. And for me, I can say for myself, it's always fun to do shows with guys I haven't seen in a year, 2 years and stuff. Because, again, we never have enough time. Sometimes it's only one day or a weekend. And, you know, we got 2 years worth of stories to tell. And, like, you know, talking about doing a little three-way we did, and then, you know, one guy goes to Japan and the other guy goes to Puerto Rico, and, you know, we have totally different adventures to tell after that. So, yeah, that's I've never had any problems with guys in the locker room, and I always say there's room for more guys. You just have to make yourself be seen and be known. And, yeah, that's the thing. Like I said also before, no one remembers who wins or loses. They just remember some of the spots. And a lot of times I don't take match of the night. I mean, it's rare, but I will take spots of the night where people will be like, man, when Sexy Eddie did that, that was retarded. That was off the hook. So that's what I like to leave, you know?
Mm-hmm. The angle with Zandig's wife, how did that come about? And obviously at some point you got in his good graces, but you know, they didn't do a lot of those type of spots with Zandig's wife at the time or anything. How did that all come about?
That was really a quick thing. I mean, John had saw some of my tapes and stuff, and he knew I did a strip. And I don't even remember if it was Ruckus or someone that was like, you know, hey, you could do it on John's wife as a joke, ha, ha, ha. And then I think John was like, we'll do it. And I think he tried to surprise her, and she was probably like, you know, usually women are kind of skeptical and stuff, and they're like, well, I don't know. And I'm like, just act natural. That's all. And, yeah, that was it. So I was like, you want to be hated already? Like, for my first match, I think I was wrestling Knox. I'm trying to remember. Ian Knox?
Ian Knox.
Ian, yeah, that's it. And, yeah, so they were like, do that. They'll hate you right away. So they hated me, but see, by after the second match, again, after the blood thing, they did a whole 360, and you know, actually 180. So I'm not good with math. Again, the head drops and stuff, they just went from heel to face to totally loving me. And yeah, that was just, John was like, yeah, you can have my wife. You do it all the time and stuff. So, I mean, and that's a great thing in my career. A lot of guys have told me, you know, after a couple of drinks and stuff, they're like, Eddie, man, you're the coolest. If anyone ever slept with my girlfriend, you know, if it would be you, I would have no problem with that. So it's good to hear that from other people, giving me their wives and girlfriends, because they know I'll take care of them, I'll respect them, and I will please and have sex with them really well.
Right. You know, well, you also had the bookings that went over there, came shortly after with Jersey All-Pro. What was it like, you know, transferring or, you know, trying to do the same thing you were doing just in another venue, you know, one state over at the time?
That's what they wanted, and they were like a four-way, and we did have a switch, though. Kevin Steen was not available, so we used Beef Wellington, so a chance for him to be introduced to the American crowd. And again, so you're changing a character, a more, you know, a more mat-based, taller, technical wrestler who pulls out some innovative moves for, again, just a very innovative wrestler, too, who brings his own brand of comedy, own unique style. So, again, it changes a lot of things, and it was already built, like they called it, I think, Canadian Madness something match.
Right.
But, again, and it was weird to have the Jersey and Philly fans, because I think the Jersey fans already turned on me. Came out because, again, there's that little rivalry, I guess, from state to state. And you know what? But Jersey All-Pro was able to capitalize and make Beef Wellington and El Generico big in their company.
Right.
So, again, they took different guys and it's a totally different match. They tried to – they wanted to do a similar thing, but, you know, you can never carbon copy a match, especially switching with some guys and stuff. We had new ideas. We had a lot to show. And, again, it was only the tip of the iceberg when we were in CZW. Everyone knows you never throw out all your cards because if that's all you got, you're a one-trick pony, and they'll use you in one match, and that's all they need you. But to have staying power, like I said, we didn't just get invited to do one show at CZW. I mean, I was there for 2 years. So they saw there was some potential. They saw there was storyline, and they saw, like, hey, he keeps pulling out something new every time. So you know what? Like, there's something good here.
Yeah. Another thing that always stuck out, too, you know, as far as, you know, you doing the death matches and stuff, as crazy as death matches are, I mean, there's some people, you know, that, you know, Nick Gage is, for the most part, always wore a shirt. I mean, he's still one of the craziest dudes you're ever going to see. You get the couple people
yeah,
in the
most
crowd,
definitely.
They're, oh, take your shirt off, blah, blah, blah. You were a guy who went to a whole nother extent with it and, you know, wrestled in your underwear. So,
yeah.
I mean, where did you come up with that? Where was that even tried out or tested first, to know that you could pull that off? Because there's got to be parts of that are close calls.
Yeah, I mean, I think I have probably the toughest nutsack in the business because I've taken out thumbtacks, shaking my underwear while I'm wearing them, and have a bunch of thumbtacks, some broken glass fall out, and I've never had had a testicle spill. So that's great for me. Never had any stitches below the belt, which is really cool. But you know what? The only way to know about it is to try it. And I wanted to stay true to my character because if I go and put on a pair of jeans and a T-shirt, it's like, whoa, Sexy Eddie always wrestles in, like, you know, in his shiny flamboyant underwear. But again, like Nick Gage always wrestles in that same clothes. Necro wrestles in his same clothes. If you start changing what you're wearing and stuff, just because, like, again, I don't know, then I'm like, anyone could do that. Anyone could put on a snowsuit and do a death match, right? You know, but again, that's, I was like, you know what, let me stay true to myself, and I'm going to go balls to the wall, man.
For sure, yeah, that's it's definitely a very, very extreme way to do it. You know, in the deathmatch stuff, obviously the one that stuck out quite a bit was doing the one with Arsenal. I believe it was with Arsenal, right?
Yeah, yeah. That was like July 2004.
What, I mean, besides that, or was that the one that was the craziest death match you've ever been involved in?
No, that had the craziest, probably, outcome, but not the craziest. I mean, I've done, like, again, a lot of fans bring the two barefoot thumbtack matches, which those were pretty intense. You know, there's some crazier match that could have been injury. I've done matches with more light tubes than that. The Panes of Glass, the no rope, there was the no ropes barbed wire matches and stuff. And, you know, like, anything could happen. The thing is with fire, barbed wire, glass, they're all unpredictable. Anything could happen. I mean, you can get a piece in your eye and stuff. Or, which happened to me, I got cellulitis with some deep glass that was in my arm that I thought was all cleaned out. And again, months later, it came back to haunt me. Huge infection in my arm where they had to plug an IV in me every morning, every night for 2 weeks to clear out the blood because if not, they told me, and no joke, you could have lost an arm. So
wow.
that's the thing that fans don't know about. They see that. They see the brutality, the violence. We get up with our hand raised or lost, and, like, you know, you're holding up a trophy for a Carnage Cup or King of the Death Match or, you know, any tournament. And there's the weeks later, well, sometimes a couple of days later where it's a little tough to get back on your feet. But, again, there's sometimes scars that take a while to heal, and then there's stuff that you don't even know about that you find out, you know, like I said, a couple months, maybe a couple years even down the line, that you're like, wow, I have this huge piece of glass blocking an artery from the blood flowing to my heart, and it's causing numbness and this and that, and then they got to operate. So that's something that fans don't know about, the gritty part of it. But, yeah, the recovery is probably the hardest thing, and having my mom for countless matches, I'd come back home, wake her up, and she'd pour peroxide on me, and not liking what she saw, but I'm there, I'm saying I'm okay and stuff, and then I have to shower off and do another coating of peroxide and do that for a couple nights. Again, sleep with black a black long-sleeve shirt or sweater because I don't want to bleed all through my sheets. So again, there's a routine that we go through, and death. Three, after 19 stitches, I was going to hang up my boots.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it was like about 10 and a half hours, you know, and money we got, there's the recovery and stuff like that. And you know what, whoever's, if you're with a girl or you're seeing many girls or whatever, there's not a lot that'll accept that. And
sure.
Hurt. They don't like seeing you in pain. That's probably the most painful part, is the recovering and actually seeing the people you love kind of hurt and sad because you're hurting, you know? So that's I'd say, the toughest part of it.
Sure. What overall do you think would be your favorite match or top few favorite matches, you know, if you had to put together, like, your, you know, couple favorite that really stick out, just overall?
You know what? I've tried to answer that for years. I've tried to put together best matches that I liked, but it's always impossible. And I tried to get a DVD where I was like, you know what? Let me take one for. But they're really hard to pick from. I'm really critical, and so. And sometimes fans will tell me it was amazing and stuff, but sometimes there's little things that I nitpick about. And so, yeah, it's the hardest thing for me to put the best matches together. I can tell you some of the best feelings I got from them, which, like I said, was that fan reaction from the September show in Philly. So that was like September 2004. And that was one of the best feelings. Great feeling, too, when first time I wrestled in Germany. The crowd reaction and the reaction throughout my match. I was wrestling a guy from Germany, Thumbtack Jack, who also I wrestled in the States, ironically, 5 years later in the finals for a Carnage Cup. Certain reactions from new crowds and stuff that totally amazed by. But matches, I find that hard. I have moments. I'd have my favorite moments that I could probably put together, but matches, I can have my top groupies that I've gotten in each town, some of the best compilation of blowjobs. That's something that, you know, right off the top of my head, I can imagine some of those ones. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that on your show and stuff. I don't know how clean you guys are, but,
sure,
that's one of my, right there, that would be, you know, every wrestler has a best of DVD. That would be mine. Mine would be a compilation. Some of my best money shots. That would have to be, you know. And I think, you know, it would be a top seller.
Yeah, well, definitely a big crowd for that. So, I mean, it's a good possibility.
You know who would buy them all? Wrestlers, because they'd want to know which towns these groupies are in so that they can get booked there, too.
What were the best cities for groupies for you?
Yeah, man. So, I mean, that's what I think. That's some of the craziest adventures I've had. from wrestling, and I would, you know, I got some crazy injuries from wrestling too, but I would never exchange that for everything. I mean, I've had so many great moments. Again, a lot of hard moments in wrestling too, but I've made some lifelong friends that, mm-hmm. you know, when you're in a car, you're driving, let's say, seven and a half hours there and then back. Sometimes you think you'll run out of stuff to talk about, and you don't. And you do that again month after month after month, you do build mm-hmm. a good bond. And I mean, from not knowing guys years before to then after being at their wedding and stuff like that, it's something, you know. It's sure. hard to explain. Like any sport, if you stick around long enough, from making it a hobby to a passion to where you can make some money out of it, I mean, you're giving a lot of yourself, a lot of your time, and a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into what you do. I think you build some great bonds that, you know, that you could never, you can never get in something other than professional sports.
Right. From all the, you know, the guys that came over from Canada and stuff with you, and I mean, obviously Steen is, I mean, he's running wild on the indies over here. You know, Generico's now, you know, he's up there, you know, with the WWE, you know, making quick progress, hopefully going to be on the main show soon. And, you know, a lot of guys doing different big things. Is everybody where you expected them to be when everybody first came over here? Or do you think some guys are still have a lot, you know, more they could obtain or overachieve or any of those things?
You know what? At the beginning, I didn't expect anything. I didn't expect for anyone. Up in the air. And the thing is, some people ask when they don't know wrestling. Actually, I did a promotion tonight. We're doing a show during a heavy metal like concert, 2 days of concert. Mm-hmm. With like big bands like Avenged Sevenfold, Megadeth, Rob Zombie, and we're wrestling on that. And I was talking to one of the band members, and he was asking me a similar question where he's like, when you guys are on tour and stuff, how is it? And I told him, it's not the same. We're all independent.
Right.
Agent, we own all market ourselves. Someone might like this guy and this guy's characters, but, you know, not really want to book some other guys. So I told him, we're all individuals. It all depends. When we went to the States, not only our impression in the ring, but out of the ring, and it's how guys market and sell themselves to the fans, to the promoter, to the rest. So I didn't know what to expect. Some guys were able to show it in the ring, and some guys wouldn't be able to show it backstage, and vice versa. You know, but some of the guys, again, they all went beyond my expectations. Some guys could have had more potential, that I'll give you, but, you know, sometimes with personal choices in life, girlfriends, jobs, having kids, it all changes your priorities and your outlook on life. So it maybe changed directions, which, again, even in this point in my career, like I said, 14 years, I wasn't ready to give it up. But I wanted to try something new, and which I know we mentioned this before even the interview. You had told me we'd talk about some of the obstacle races.
Absolutely.
And in my life, I had never really done cardio. I hated running. I thought it was so boring. And I was like, no, man, you got to lift the weights to look good. It's all about the body. And you know, but the thing is, running and starting to run has made me feel a whole lot more energetic, has given me a more positive outlook on life. And accomplishing some of these races that I've done a couple Spartan races. I've done the Tough Mudder race this past weekend. Countless others, a Mud Hero, Boot Camp, and I still got a couple more to go. I'm loving it. It's given me a whole lot more energy. I'm meeting a bunch of new girls, and I love meeting fit girls. You know, these girls have some of the finest asses, and they can go on in the bedroom for a long time. So, you know, that just puts me on a whole new level. But that's the thing, like I said, we need to have new challenges in life. And and new goals. And so some of the guys had new goals and different objectives. And I respect that. And that's all cool. The thing that makes me the happiest, too, is when some guys could at least retire out of wrestling, and not because they're forced to because of injury, but retire because, you know what, they've had their fun and they're ready to move another chapter in their life. And so
right.
I'm still not quitting wrestling, but I said if I can do good in these marathons and races, you know what, I'm good enough to stay in the ring for a couple more years and keep up with the young kids. Because, yeah, the new blood comes up every year, 16, 17-year-old kids. And so, you know, I'm about double that. You know, the old expression goes.
Yeah.
So with that, I'm at the prime of my life.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I just started doing those races this, what was it, last month. I did the Foam Fest, and yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. I later on read that it's, you know, often criticized for a lot of waiting. You don't really get to go like full force through the whole thing. There's a lot of waiting with the obstacles.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, other than that, I mean, it was in the New York mountains, so that part of it was really cool to actually run, you know, up and down these mountains. And I'm doing the Warrior Dash on August 3rd, so I'm looking forward to that. But it gave me something to drive myself out. Unless you do some kind of professional sports, I'm 35. There's no actual goal or something to obtain. So that, it's definitely putting me in that direction. I'm definitely enjoying it. And I just got started, so I can't wait to do all the, you know, the ones that you have once I'm there. I'm not quite ready for those 10Ks yet, but.
You know what? Your body adapts fast, and I didn't think I can do 16K, which I did, comes to about 10 miles. But I did it this past weekend. And again, you're all at your own pace, but some of the I did not think I could come. And there was a monster filled with ice, and you got to go underneath, like with ice water and stuff. You got to go underneath and come up the other side, and that's the one that terrified me the most. There was one where at the end you get electrocuted. There's watch, you either dodge them or run right through them, and that I was like, piece of cake, I'm going to put some in my... Under all these, it touched me in the spine. And...
You're breaking up a little bit. You're breaking up a little bit. You there, Eddie?
A little bit of electricity. It can't be that strong. But you never know what to expect of some of these. I encourage everybody not to go to these extreme ones. Start out slow. Your body adapts so quickly to running and to being able to go further distances. And you know what? You do it at your own pace, but at least the goal is to finish. And everyone who finishes these races, man, tap on the back. Congratulations. Whether you lose 2 pounds, whether you lose 50 pounds, man, anything is better than sitting on the couch.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. You know, what other ones do you want to get, you know, done that you haven't done yet?
In the next 2 months, next month, actually, I have two smaller ones because I'm going to be kind of going down. I had a bursitis, which in my elbow, which is like a severe trauma that caused a big swelling and a lot of pain. So I had... again, a quick explanation for Spartan races. There's the Spartan Sprint. I had done three of those, which are 3 miles about. Then after that, you graduate to the Super Spartan, which is 8 miles. And then after that, which that was my date, I was supposed to do one, and then 2 days before, my elbow swelled up. You pass that, and you do this one called the Spartan Beast. Now that's the biggest one, and again, when people say how many miles and stuff, this one, you're like, don't forget, you're running uphill where and through huge piles of mud, which is really mm-hmm. hard to train for things like that. So you don't know what it is until you've done it, but it'll take really good runners at least 4 hours to finish a Spartan Beast, and that's good runners. So I had put myself, I'd say, let's say max 5 hours, but because of my elbow, I was not able to accomplish that goal. But I'll be accomplishing other goals. I have one called Prison Break, which is similar to like the zombie races, Run for Your Life. You got 3 flags in your pocket kind of thing. You run, people chase after you and try to get the flags. You get to the end, you win 5K, and I'm doing another one called the X-Men Race. I'm going to get more obstacles, very similar like a boot camp. I'll have a couple probably in September, which I'm going to sign up for because I'm having a lot of fun. But next year, again, my goals, I want to do more Tough Mudder ones. I can't stress how fun these are. Go in a group, even doesn't matter your pace, just do it. And the Spartan race, I'm going to get the trifecta. I'm going to be doing all the three levels of them. And yeah, it just takes motivation, and there's only one person that can push you, and that's yourself. You can watch as many instructional videos as you want, things like that, but until you get off the couch, you start running, go to the gym, you got to do it. And that's the biggest step, though. Getting your ass in a gym or on a field to start running, that's probably like 50%. Because some people get a little too comfortable, sit on the couch, start watching TV. Man, wrong thing. If you're tired, go for a run. If you're feeling sick, go exercise a little bit. You know what I mean? Just do something, because we'll all pull out excuses. But, you know, a coach of mine would always say, excuses are like assholes. Everybody's got one. So that's why he'd say, do another lap and stuff. So, yeah, that's all I can say, man. You're the only one that can do it. So, you know, you got a lot of wrestling fans that are kind of like, they call them, the couch warriors or whatever, and they'll criticize and they'll nitpick the smart marks and they'll say what guys did wrong. It's a big step to go and actually in the ring and do that. Like I said, accidents happen, and I'm living proof of that. So to actually do it, though, is a big step. But everyone should do one race in their life. Like I said, too, in the beginning, I hated running. I'd never run a marathon in my life, marathon or even an obstacle course, no matter how long it was. I hated that. But I've done now already six, and, you know, I got a couple more left, and I'm loving it. I'm loving life, and my performance in the bedroom is better. So,
awesome, man. Well, yeah, man. Thanks for coming on, and I'm definitely going to give you some of those tips and just keep pushing myself towards this Warrior Dash next month, man. I'm really excited for it. So,
I'm personally going to try and actually get a team of wrestlers. I got a whole year to do it for some races and stuff. Try and get a couple other guys interested in other things. And you know what? It's made my performance in the ring a lot better. Even I looked at the pictures and I was like, okay, maybe I'm like 15 pounds less than I was 5 months ago. But I look good, and I feel good, and that's what's important. I want to let the fans know, too, if they want to reach me for a question or anything like that, contact me on Facebook. I'm hoping you guys will have a link for that. They can a direct link, but just add me. Again, name's Eddie, but with a long, complicated last name. So you guys can write that out. So if you're listening out there and you want to add me as a friend, if you have double D tits and you're a chick, I will definitely add you. I'm running out of friend space. So, promoters, anyone who will be giving me money or their bodies, ladies, then I will be adding you. Sorry for the guys. But, I mean, you know, if you're a really big fan and you want to buy my stuff, then you know what? You let me know that, and I'll add you, too.
Right, man. Anything else you want to, shout out or plug?
I want to plug all the women out there, that's for sure. but I want to thank you guys for having me on the show. And not only talk, anything, any sport you do, and again, people will rag on wrestling or whatever, entertainment, this and that. Man, you're doing something. You're making people smile. You're making people happy. That's what I'm in the business of. Even foremost, before a wrestler, I call myself an entertainer. I like it when people come after a show and tell me that they had a good time. They'll be coming back. And that's a great feeling to know that we're doing something on the weekends. That are making people remember us and have fun, man. That's what I was doing. I was born to entertain. So that's about it. Have a good night, everyone. Thank you very much again, Jay Morris, Big Cat, for having me on the show. It's been awesome.
Thank you, man. Have a good night.
You too. Bye.
Right. There you go. That's Sexy Eddie himself. And, I said, a great dude to have on. Right now I'm going to take a break. What I'm going to do, is, I planned on doing this last week, but I didn't do the show, so, well, it's hard to do. Well, because I have, you know, a few more things to talk about, so I figure I'll play some, and then I'll come back. I'm going to play this Kanye track. Now, let me just explain real quick. Kanye, I think the album he just put on is garbage. This track here, I think, is pretty solid, but he also, to me, I think he ripped it off of, you know, some different things that Apathy did. And I'll play you the examples afterwards, but let me play this Kanye track, and then I'll come back, play you the examples, and, you know, get into a few more topics and do that. All right? Track is pretty good and whatnot, but I felt from the start, as soon as I heard it, like, I was like, this shit sounds really familiar, and then I kind of figured it out. And it's funny because it's two different tracks that Apathy did. Apathy, you know, the dude, you know, he was more or less putting his tracks on, like, you know, other people's beats and, like, making his own thing out of, like, he did, these two tracks are Personal Jesus and Beautiful People. So these were, like, you know, obviously the Beautiful People, Marilyn Manson, he did his version of that. Now listen to what I had just played and now compare it to, like, what this sounds like right here.
The harder they fall, when egos are big, the people are small.
you get a little bit of the flavor of that. And then the other part of that, if you were to combine the flow and the tempo and the bass drops of that one, and then this one.
Listen up closely, focus your brain. Rappers approach me, close to get slain. Slash it slowly, open your veins. Over and over and over again. Verses are perfect, the virtual genius. A person could say I'm the personal Jesus. Rise of a battle, the fire like Phoenix. It's crazy, I'll even rock 80s rock remix. So pray to me every day, faithfully, basically, basically, leaving you fatally wounded and wasted. I'm wicked as mystical voodoo magicians. If you were to listen, you're under my spell. Losing the vision, surrender your written. The fuel of the spit of my muffin is fire with a beautiful chicken. Configure the trigger, it's training, I'm straining your ligaments, aiming the cripple kids, aiming the barrel, I bury you effortlessly, faggot peppin' with me, you'll get blown into fragments and left for debris, didn't he mention, I'm deadly, these Beatrice widows, I'm back from the dead, but not Beatrix kiddo, it's A.P., say it with me, A.P., play it for me, over and over.
Yeah, so, I mean, you get the gist of it, but that's what I'm saying, like, that was why I liked it, because I kind of, you know, I like the other joints that were really, really fucking similar, so, but nah, I thought that was a complete cop-out piece of shit, the album on a whole. Like, fucking Kanye put 10 tracks on an album and called it an album. And fucking, come on, man. Especially with, you know, the ego of somebody like that guy. He ain't put no fucking effort into that shit. I didn't get fully through the Jay-Z thing, so I was listening to a bunch of shit earlier today, and I got that as well. And from what I heard, Jay-Z shit is a million times better. Like, the songs just sound good, like there was fucking effort or money poured into it or fucking something. And it sounds like there's some shit of substance. Like, there's a couple of tracks I was getting into. I was like, all right, you know, this track's good. And, you know, it is what it is, you know. And, you know, the style might be not for some people or whatever. But it just felt something far, far more value, and I think this one had like 16 tracks on it or some shit like that. So, I mean, to me, it's ridiculous. I had actually somebody saying the other day on Facebook that Jay-Z's overrated. Jay-Z and his woman are overrated. And I'm like, yo, you maybe talk about his woman, but Jesus Christ, for everything that Jay-Z has done over the time, I mean, from, you know, hard rock shit to you know, to club joints to ballads to you know, crossover joints. It's shit, you know, he did the shit with Linkin Park. He did he did like shit that would appeal to so many different people. You know, you go back from Reasonable Doubt to you know, the Black Album to, and I'm not naming all his albums before, and you left out this. Like, I'm just saying, like, the different things, these different genres and different styles and feels that he's done to all his music over the time. Dude has laid down a fucking serious amount of work. So I really can't imagine where someone's going to actually say that shit and mean it. Or, you know what I mean? That he's overrated or some shit. I'll tell you, Kanye's overrated in a fucking second. I mean, he's a great producer. I think he's a better producer than he'll ever be a rapper. I know he's a better producer than he ever was a rapper. So it is what it is. And he'll have a couple decent rap songs and shit like that. But that dude is fucking way overrated compared to a guy like Jay-Z. That shit, I mean, come on, man. Yeah, and I'm not, like, just, like, a, you know, on Jay-Z shit for everything he makes. There's a lot of shit I don't really like that much, you know. And I'm not even saying, you know, this album's a banger from top to bottom. I'm just saying, like, it just seems like it's made by somebody who's been around this bitch minute and, you know, put a little effort into it as opposed to Kanye, who fucking should know better and still, you know, doing whatever he's doing. So, all right, That's that. A couple different things I wanted to talk about. One, I guess let me get into my week. Well, at least starting with the day after I was supposed to do my last show. I was getting ready for this 4th of July party and stuff like that. Now, by my actual mental plan, what I was actually going to do, because I've been trying to pump back on the drinking and shit like this, right? So what I did is
I was like, all right, well, 4th of July is going to be fucking bananas. So that'll be, you know, a big blow off, and boom, that weekend I have the next day off to at least recover physically from whatever the fuck I do to myself on the 4th of July, okay? So that was the plan. Then the days following that, which would be the Saturday and Sunday, full force. Let's go, fucking training, fucking no bullshit, no looking back, no fucking playing around, no more games, let's go. That was my initial plan. Well, 4th of July itself, I'm at work because I worked till 2, and then I was going to, you know, start the party at 4, which is why, like, you know, the night before I was supposed to be doing a show. I figure, you know, shit, I need that couple hours at night to make sure I got, you know, lights up over here and everything set up and everything ready. Because when I came home from work, I was going to only have really 2 hours and then fucking people show up. So I'm like, all right, whatever. So anyway, I'm at work on 4th of July, and I torqued my back somehow. I twisted the shit somehow or whatever. And it hurt, and I'm like, ah, fuck, you know, whatever. I go to take a shower before the party and shit. My whole fucking back is crooked as fuck. Like, the entire party, that was, like, the running fucking joke. Because my back was like a fucking boomerang and shit. Like, I couldn't really straighten it out. Like, they're just standing completely crooked. Like, everybody, you look at me for, like, 1 second, you'd be like, well, what the fuck you do and shit. And that's how it was. So that was like, you know, and then, of course, all the alcohol I'm pouring on over the day. And I'm not letting it faze me, and I'm just, you know, it's obviously there. You could obviously see it, but it was, you know, it was being numbed out by anything else. And at the same token, I just wasn't letting it fucking faze me and shit. By the time, you know, the middle of the night after, you know, crashing after the party and all that, which, I mean, the party was tons of fun. And, you know, I mean, it's always a blast. But, you know, middle of the night, I'm fucking dying in pain and shit over the fucking, you know, the back. So, again, still have the next day to recover. But now, okay, I can't just bounce up out of this and go start fucking running. Like, I can't walk straight, let alone fucking start running this shit off. So, it kind of set me back. And I know, like, part of this is just me making excuses and stuff, but it's something that actually physically held me from what I wanted to do, which was go full fucking force forward and stop fucking around. So that didn't happen. So then I work Saturday because, you know, I work off Friday, and then I was, you know, back on Saturday, and then I'm off Sunday. So then the girl hits me up on Saturday, like, hey, you know, one of her friends was having a birthday party during the day for their kid, and during the night, it was turned into an adult party. Now, I never hung out with these people before or anything like that. Obviously, they got some scratch. So, here's what was pretty much put on the table. Adult party, they are renting a screen that's 16 foot by 9 foot to watch the UFC fight outside with the pool and the whole shit going on and fucking keg and the whole nine. And you get there and they're jousting. There's a board. They put a board over the pool and they got them big American Gladiator sticks and shit, and they fucking jousting over the pool. So what am I going to do? You know what I mean? And so I went to that shit and had another fucking crazy fun night. I mean, that shit was bananas. Like, I'd never been to no shit like that. I don't really have, like, a bunch of rich friends and shit. So this shit was just fucking crazy. When, I mean, go fucking take a tape measure somewhere and measure 16 foot by 9 foot. That's like a fucking small movie theater screen in someone's backyard. That shit is no fucking joke. So that's how I'm only a casual UFC fan, but shit, if it's on, if people are around, they got it on, whatever, or if it's one of those real big fights, I watch it, shit. So had that on, and yo, man, I mean, that fucking Silva got knocked the fuck out. I don't know, like, a lot of people saying it's fixed and this and that, because he just played right into that shit like he wanted to get knocked the fuck out. I don't know if he was just being that big of a bitch or it was a work or what, but, I mean, that shit, dude, he got the fucking shit knocked out of him for no reason, because he wasn't even fighting him. Like, he got to that point that he was just like, yeah, this guy's a joke, and the guy knocked him the fuck out for playing him. I mean, I don't know. I can't imagine that dude is that unprofessional. So I don't know. To me, it kind of looked like it could easily be a work, but he took legit fucking head trauma. But I guess for the money, whatever. I don't know. I'm not a UFC fan like that, so. But it was a crazy, crazy fucking night. So then, you know, go through fucking, you know, do the fucking jousting over the pool, the whole fucking nine, crazy shit. And then wake up Sunday. Now what am I looking at on Sunday? Fucking another fucking hangover and all the fucking vodka and everything I could want from what's left over from my party. So now I'm just like back in the fucking hole, man. And just buried myself once the fucking again, man. And then it was like, just bullshit, man. Just completely fucked myself all weekend. And like I said, I mean, the parties were fun as hell. If I could have just cut it to that, shit, it wouldn't have been a problem. But clear as fuck, I can't. And so that's that. You know, I did the chiropractor, what was it, Saturday? Yes. Friday night, Saturday morning, I did a chiropractor, which fixed my back quite a bit. You know what I mean? Enough where, you know, Monday I was so fucking hungover over that dumb, stupid fucking decision that I was so fucked up I couldn't do a fucking thing on Monday. I was just like, I went to work, but just not worth shit. So anyway, yesterday I started, you know, no drinking or anything. I shit on Monday or Tuesday. And yesterday I started all my supplements, well, the majority of them or whatever. So, do that thing. And then today, same shit. And then tomorrow it's, you know, actually putting some physical fucking work down and just training from here on out. So, I mean, it's just more fucking obstacles that I put in my own ways. No other excuses than that. But, yeah, I mean, just a bunch of shit that just, kind of tailor-made for my failure, and, you know, what can you do, in Brazil, they fucking, the soccer thing, anybody heard about this shit, anybody not heard about this shit, these motherfuckers, man, they had a fucking dude, they're playing soccer, like, professionally and shit, you know. People bitch about ref calls and shit on LeBron, or that the ref didn't call and shit like this. Motherfucking soccer stadium in there. The ref goes to kick the dude out. I guess dude tells him to go fuck himself. They start fist fighting. The ref pulls out a knife, stabs the dude. The dude's going to the hospital, dies on the way there. The fans rush the thing, stone the ref to death, and I guess find out that the dude died on the way to the hospital. They cut this motherfucker's body into pieces and put his head on a stick. So, that's soccer. These motherfuckers is crazy. I mean, I know that's kind of an understatement. Yeah, very, very much so. So that's crazy shit. Another crazy shit. Tammy. Fucking Tammy. She is giving the fans a chance to get in bed with her, is the headline for the most part. There's like a convention type joint. Legends of the Ring convention on October 5th in Monroe, New Jersey. And she posted this on Facebook. Hey, Sunny fans, this is your chance to get under the covers with me at the Legends of the Ring convention's 10/5/13. I will be offering special photo ops, your choice, $50 to have you get your photo taken laying next to me in bed, and $75 you can have your photo taken spooning with or lying my head on your chest.
was I your teenage crush? Question, question, question. Here's your chance to make that dream a reality. And then it says, pre-sale tickets will be offered soon. And then it says, and yes, I will be wearing a little item from my lingerie drawer. Yo, you gotta be fucking kidding me with this shit. First off, you know, and anybody who wants to defend his bullshit, shut the fuck up. Seriously, because I've seen a couple wrestlers popping up there and trying to over it. Because, I mean, well, there are people like, oh, this is prostitution. It's not prostitution. It's fucking stupidity and fucking pathetic. That's all it is. You know what I mean? That's 100% what it is. And fucking on her end, I would say pretty irresponsible behavior for someone who's been arrested like fucking 15 times in a year's fucking stretch. For a year or two stretch, your next move is to fucking jump in some lingerie and take photos for fucking $75 cuddling with fucking nerds in bed. Fuck is wrong with you? I mean, come on, man. That's some old bullshit. And the thing with me is like, I mean, it's not prostitution, but how can you feel like, hey, man, like, people, okay, well, if she can get the money for it, why not? Like, dude, you can get the money for a lot of shit. That doesn't mean it's fucking right. Here's what I want. I want two things. I want some kind of fan page of this event to pop up on Facebook. And I want to see all the pictures of these motherfuckers in the bed with her, because I can't imagine I would stop laughing at all. Number two, I would like someone to put up like $100 for a contest. Now, here's the contest. For everybody who's already gonna pay, get up in the covers and, I mean, just lay down the craziest fart that you can conjure up, because there will be at least one story coming out of that situation. They'll be like, this big nasty motherfucker got in there and just lit that joint up. We had to clear out for 20 minutes, something. And if all of them are going for it, man, this will be a fucking event to be remembered. And I would love nothing more than her to be raging out on the fucking internet about these nasty spank motherfuckers that jumped in the thing. Hey, man, what do you want to do? You know, they get nervous and they do the, I mean, that would just be the most hilarious thing in there. But that's just me. I don't know. I just think that the whole fucking situation is retarded. So somewhere, somehow, it's got to not work out for her at all. There's got to be like one fucking dude, or, like, I don't know. There's got to be something worse that comes out of this. Otherwise, it's just going to get canceled. That would be my first opinion, that there's going to be some shit where this gets canceled. But if not, some disgusting shit should happen, so that way, like, you know, it gets pointed out on what a horrible idea this is to just, you know, do this type of shit. So, because I just think it's hilarious, and it can only get funnier. Okay. Oh, what else? The Wyatt family. Crazy shit. I thought this whole gimmick was played out fucking great. I think the whole thing with the lantern and, like, the promos they've been doing, this is the most cinematic thing WWE has done in a long fucking time. And that's including their bullshit WWE films, because I don't know who the fuck takes any of that shit seriously. I mean, this is coming from someone who hates movies for the most part. But I'm saying, like, that shit is really, really fucking good. I mean, of course, you know, the dickheads that try to ruin it by yelling fucking Husky Harris and all that shit. But this is why I fucking, for the most part, and I know this isn't going to like help my listenership, but for the most part, I fucking hate wrestling fans. And I couldn't be happier with the fact that I don't attend live shows anymore. Just because sitting around these bags of shit that fucking decide to yell whatever they want to get noticed by another dude with a job. You know what I mean? Like, that shit annoys me. And you know, they're also encouraged by so many of the workers and so many of the people that are involved with it go, well, if you guys just sit there and don't
you know, you sit on your hands, you expected people to work hard for you. Okay, so now encourage them to just blurt out whatever nonsense to fuck this up, to make it their thing instead of yours. See, this is why, like, to me, if guys would just go in there and fucking work an empty arena match, fucking pull off a half-hour fucking classic with fucking no bullshit, no fan fucking interaction, no nothing, just fucking put on a banging-ass match, I'm good with that. See, like I was saying, I've said it a bunch of times, like the Misawa Kawada matches, the Misawa Kobashi matches, a lot of times too, those Japanese fans are quiet as fuck. That's how they are. And then like they'll pop towards like certain parts of the match, but that's it. Like for the most parts of the match, they'd sit there and shut the fuck up. I don't go, I wish this fucking crowd wasn't so dead. This fucking match would be better. Like, no, dude. And I don't think they're thinking about it like that either, partially because that's their environment. But, yeah, sure, it must be great to be a wrestler and have a building rocking supporting you. Or you can have a building rocking fucking just yelling random shit. And then that's like you're working for a crowd of fucking Tourette's patients. You know, like you're working, I mean, you guys could like seriously set up rings in fucking mental institutions and they're never, ever going to stop fucking yelling shit. That doesn't mean they're fucking supporting you or doing anything positive. It means they're just being part of it by yelling random shit. Like, what was it? I think it was CZW's 12. I think it was 12, their 12th anniversary or 13 or one of those fucking joints. It was when I was there, not this year. One of their first Voorhees shows or whatever, but horrible fucking show, horrendous fucking show, top to bottom, just fucking garbage. And by the end of the show, people were just going, Undertaker. Oh yeah, I mean shit, you had the crowd getting involved and just chanting other random shit to occupy their boredom. Yeah, I mean, if you consider that getting over or accomplishing something, then keep encouraging these fucking retards. Keep encouraging these unemployable gangs of retards that, you know, somehow get money from their parents or fucking somebody to show up at these shows and do nothing positive. Do absolutely nothing positive. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, man. I think, you know, if you're into it, get into it. If you're not, fucking whatever, man. Just fucking watch the match. It's not your obligation to just say some shit because you're there. I mean, if you're there, and I mean, it is what it is, but I don't know where, you know, these fans going, I remember that guy. That was Husky Harris. We need to yell that for everyone who doesn't know. Like, dude, we fucking know, and they're doing something better with them right now. Dude, like, he got injured. Like, I don't even really think they pulled him off the main roster because of it wasn't working. He got injured and they pulled him down and repackaged him. And when they repackaged him, somewhere along the lines, this shit came out. And this was the best fucking thing that could have happened. You know, and I mean, Brody, you know, and the other dude, they're working really well with the whole gimmick. But I mean, Bray Wyatt is working the fuck out of this gimmick. And I don't know, man. It, to me, it's exciting. It's something that's definitely fucking interesting that I want to watch. I want to see that shit. You know what I mean? Like, their promos come on, you're like, oh, this is going to be some shit. And how much can you say that about WWE programming? So to me, this isn't something that someone needed to rhythmically clap or chant fucking, you know, let's go Bray Wyatt or fucking, you know, Wyatt family, clap, 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 clap. They didn't have to do that for this shit to work. It was, you know, a wrestling company putting effort into a gimmick, which just because it's WWE doesn't mean that they do that. I mean, a lot of times they put zero effort into their shit. They don't follow through with things, you know, and this isn't just me putting over WWE because this is working. I'm just saying, in a lot of different instances, you know, companies will come out up with good things, they'll execute it, the fans will get behind it. And I think that is the most important thing, and this is just from one fan's perspective, but that's the most important thing about fucking wrestling, whether it be an indie, whether it be, you know, TV product or whatever, is putting out something that becomes interesting to the fans and draws them in. That's what I think a draw means. Maybe I'm way off on this, but people just think, put on fucking generic bullshit, fucking everyday wrestling shows, and then yell at the fans for why aren't they into it, you spoiled bastards. And I get the, I do understand that there's a lot of areas, especially like the Philly, Jersey, you know, these areas that they've gotten so much good stuff that it's hard to top. It's hard to actually bring them back in. Well, maybe some creativity behind angles and storyline at that part, if you know your wrestling is so consistent and so good and is doing things that you feel, shit, man, it's no different quality than we've ever had in the past. I mean, I used to love this shit. Well, maybe something needs to be spiced up. Something needs to be created. Someone actually has to come up with a creative idea rather than just booking fucking, like everybody thinks, or at least it seems they think, you can take a sheet with a bunch of lines and brackets, like this one versus this one, these two versus these two, these two versus these two, that versus that. Write it all down and just be like, whoop, this is what we're going with. Fucking feed it to the fans and get angry at them if the shit don't work. Like, there's no build. There's no actual build behind it. And then, like, because I'll tell you straight up, I'm not even fucking reading down that bullshit card that CZW's got coming up. I think it's this weekend or next weekend. Yeah, I want to say it's next weekend. But that card is bullshit. I don't have one bit of fucking interest in it. So what did, like, probably about 6 months of walking Pepper Parks out there to cut fucking promos and stand there with the chick and shit, what did that actually build to? What was the build led to? What was that? Because you needed to do that. That was your big build. That was your big angle. And it did fucking what? I really don't understand the shit, and I refuse to even give a fuck. Like, I hey, man, you're not putting any effort out? All right, then, well, go ahead with that, you know, and I guess we'll see how that turns out. But this is what I'm saying. Like, I love this fucking Wyatt family thing. I think it's really fucking good, you know, and I hope it continues and grows and does different things. I think, you know, and it's been said on other shows as well, but I think the smartest thing they could do is have them running through guys, have them taking out guys, and then this will be the way that they turn the Shield face, and then you have your 3-on-3, you know, or, you know, whatever. I mean, they could bring more people into whatever. And faction on faction, and then you have a good stable and a bad stable, because they really don't have a whole lot of stables going on at all. So if you got 2 3-man teams and they're both heels, the Shield already lost heat off of just the Wyatt family doing their thing. You know what I mean? Like, they don't have that, like, heel heat. And I've said it time and time again. Every time someone runs in and attacks John Cena, everyone's like, yeah, all right, then, yay, go for that. You know, and you got him and Mark Henry. Henry put him down. They were like, all right, Mark, oh, shit, you got us. They did the same shit with Ryback. So then when Ryback lost a whole lot to Cena, now they're just like, maybe next time, Ryback. And WWE's like, now what do we do to make it? So now it looks like they're putting Ryback with Vicky Guerrero. So I think the next thing now is like, all right, well, fucking, and battling Cena didn't make people really hate him. And shit, they don't like Vicky. I guess we'll fucking... You know what I mean? It leaves them kind of spinning because it's, again, the effort that they're putting in isn't really top notch. So, you know, I don't know. Like, creativity is boss to me. You come up with some creative moves and shit in the match, and the fucking fans will go ballistic for that move. I mean, how many times, you know, we were just talking to Eddie. The brain buster alone. El Generico is a great fucking wrestler. But if he didn't have that brain buster that everyone was jumping off the fucking, off their chairs for, I mean, would he have gotten over consistently month in or month out? I mean, it could have been another move, or it could have been another thing to pop the crowd. It's not like that's the only move. But what I'm saying is like, so many people just work these generic matches. They go out there, they do fucking no spot having matches, and then they do, I don't understand. I don't know. Why does that guy get over? I don't know. I personally, I look for something interesting. If I don't see it, I move on. And it's not...
I just don't have time in my fucking life for that shit, to just be sitting around and like, okay, well, I'll watch 100, you know, wrestling companies, and then hopefully one of them will do something interesting. Like, shit, I just lose interest. I just, all right, then we'll fucking do something else then. You know, so, I know, it's a little rambling, but, I mean, I missed doing last week's show, so had a little bit on my mind about, you know, just how I feel about some of this shit, and, Money in the Bank's on Sunday. Personally, I think, now I'm thinking, yeah, WWE is the day after CZW, because that's how they're promoting it. Like, WWE's in Philly, so why not come over here on Saturday? And, well, now you can watch two shows, because everyone has lots of money. Like, this isn't the fucking WrestleMania weekend. People aren't traveling and then setting up in a hotel wishing there was another wrestling show the day before. But, yeah, maybe I'm wrong. I guess you'll see. What's the other thing I was going to talk about? Oh, yeah, Money in the Bank. I think CM Punk or Daniel Bryan, I think, is going to win the Money in the Bank. Reason I say CM Punk is because I think they need, not even that they need, but they can use that as another leverage to turn the whole Paul Heyman situation, where he goes to cash in, Paul can't, you know, Paul costs him the Money in the Bank. He's still not champion. Now Paul full turns on him in Brock Lesnar's corner for SummerSlam. Because you got to figure SummerSlam's got to be next month, and this is just going to set up whatever SummerSlam's going to happen, which is going to be Brock and Punk. So you would think that they would do something to, like, full torque that in that situation. So, like, a Money in the Bank and a lost Money in the Bank. And because, you know, a couple years in a row now, I think they've done the carry the Money in a Bank around for a fucking year, and or close to a year or something, and, you know, and then finally cash in and get the title. And, you know, I think they're probably going to go in a different direction this time, I would hope. I don't think Van Damme's going to win the Money in the Bank. I think he's going to be brought back as, like, a kind of bit player. Maybe kind of like what they're doing with Jericho, because he's a known name and they could patch him in and out of situations. You know, and then, like, he's a guy in the match, you know, and it's cool, and, you know, it helps out the other talent. So, you know, couldn't hurt. Ambrose going in with a title, kind of strange, you know, on the other one, but I think it's going to be really cool to see him in that match, too. I also seen rumors, because I don't know what you actually, you know, believe or don't believe, but if you, some of the rumors on there saying Kane's now injured and he's not going to be in the match. So I don't know if they're going to sub somebody else in, or if, I don't know if they're going to sub somebody else in, or if he is going to work in the match. Kind of what I'm seeing there is it's going to be if Kane's in it, the Wyatt family's going to fuck him out of it. You know what I mean? I kind of think that they're going to interject themselves somehow. I would like to see, you know, say that the Shield is going to interject themselves somehow. Some guys are going to get knocked out of it due to interacting with each other. You know, whether that's, you know, Orton and Daniel Bryan, or whether that's, you know what I mean? Like, a couple of the combinations could fuck with each other too much where it knocks them out of the match. And, you know, it's kind of like a consistent way that, you know, things seem to go in these Money in the Bank matches. So, you know, I guess we'll see. Some of it could be pretty entertaining. I may very well check that out, most likely. So, I think that's about all I got for tonight. Gonna wrap up. Let me do my plugs. Check out Wrestling Soup tomorrow night. WrestlingSoup.com. I think I'm going commercialist tonight. Women Love Wrestling. Check them out you can get them on Facebook. Definitely Sports Den coming up right after this.
Obviously not on this station, but again, go to Facebook. By now you should all have them on there. And just look up the Sports Den. You'll have all their live links, and I'm always sharing them too once I'm back on Facebook when I'm done with the show. And then Stern Nation, by all means, check them out as well. Good dudes. Howard's been off for like 2 weeks now doing the AGT thing. And yeah, I'm going to get into a little bit more of that as we come up in the next coming weeks. You know, I'm going to try to get some more topics together and try to really get at some of these things a little heavier next week. I'm really not sure what I'm doing next week as far as guest-wise. I did try to get in contact with B-Boy to, you know, reschedule him and stuff, but he hasn't gotten back to me. So I don't know, you know. I mean, sometimes when you cancel on somebody, you know, they don't want to do it anymore. So, you know, if that's the case, that's the case. You know, no big deal. But I would like to have B-Boy back on. And, you know, either way, like I said, I'm going to try to, you know, plan up some material. We will have Money in the Bank to talk about next week. We'll have the Raw following Money in the Bank. And, you know, I'll figure out what else I could conjure up. So I think that's everything I got there. And let me see what I could play to end this shit. Jesus. I don't know. Nah, this will do. Alright, I'll check you motherfuckers out next week. Peace.
Night, this is Stone Cold Steve Austin, and it's a fucked up world we're living in, and people are doing some really bad shit. The TSA is about to start allowing pocket knives and horse shit that's under 2¾ inches back on the airlines. So make sure that when you're packing up with your loved ones, that you're packing a blade just like every other sick, sorry motherfucker that's about to get on the same flight as you. This is Stone Cold Steve Austin. Have a good flight.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.